Jensen's all pouty and traumatized on the way home in Jared's car, and Jared's uber bitchy girlfriend is not helping his state of mind or his complexion or anything. "It's just like that Hamlet guy said," Sandy says, pushing a strand of her long, straight brown hair behind her ear. "To thine own self be true." Jensen's feeling pissy, and his beautiful new jeans are dirty from being forced to kneel on concrete. And normally he so wouldn't make an issue of this, but... "Hamlet didn't say that," he pipes up. Sandy turns around to look at Jensen. Her dark eyes flick up and down his body. "Take a picture, bitch," he thinks. "It'll last longer." "I think I remember Hamlet correctly," she retorts. "Well, I remember Mel Gibson correctly, and he didn't say that," Jensen snaps. "That Polonius guy did." Sandy opens and closes her mouth like a gaping fish, but no sound comes out. Jensen's eyes catch Jared's in the rearview mirror. He's smiling, Jensen can tell, because his slanted hazel eyes are sparkling and dark. It's cute, and Jensen doesn't really care why he thinks that. It's been a long day. When Jared helps Jensen out of the car later, his hand rests on Jensen's forearm for a little bit longer than usual. His palm is wide, fingers long and tapered and graceful. Jensen shivers, but hello, he's so not cold. This is Southern California. On Monday, Jensen totally has his shit together. He's wearing his favourite pair of tailored grey Armani pants and this cute black sweater he bought in Italy on vacation last summer. And he knows he looks fantastic. "You look fantastic, Jen," Tom tells him. "I'm so sorry about what happened on Saturday. I didn't mean to ditch you with that loser." "Oh, Jared is kind of a nice guy, actually," Jensen says airily. "He was really sweet when he picked me up." Tom gives Jensen a steady, calculating look. "I was talking about Chris." "Oops." He gives Tom his best distracting smile. "Right, of course. Sorry, my brain is so not even working right since this whole mugging incident. I think I might have PTS or something." Tom nods, looking understanding. "That would suck." Chad appears nearby, and oh my god, Jensen's so proud. He's matching, and his pants fit, and he did it all by himself. This is such a breakthrough. "Jensen, I heard about what happened with Chris," Chad says. "That's so whacked out, man. What a bitch." "I'm so bummed I tried to hook you two up," Jensen exclaims. "I'm usually such an excellent judge of character. I'm sorry." Chad waves him off. "Don't even worry about it. He has really nice boots, but he's kind of greasy. I'm over it." "We absolutely must find you a better guy," Jensen says. "Let's have a guy's night out tonight and plan our method of attack, okay?" "Are we going to fuck somebody up?" Chad's excited all of a sudden. "Because I have this Glock, right? And..." Jensen leaves Tom to explain everything to Chad. He knows it's not the nicest thing in the world to do, but seriously, Tom owes him big time. Jensen's day brightens considerably when he walks into Kripke's class to see that Wentworth is back from vacation in the Virgin Islands with his folks. Wentworth's family doesn't believe in the school calendar. They're super intellectual. As far as Jensen can tell, that means they don't believe in following anyone else's rules. But Wentworth, there are like no words to describe how beautiful he is. He's just perfect, and he dresses amazing, and he has these intense blue-green eyes, and thoroughly kissable lips, and golden skin, and just... wow. There aren't many ways to stun Jensen Ackles into silence, but looking at Wentworth Miller just might do it. Wentworth is also Trey Sweet. He'll talk to Jensen for hours about his fashion designing dreams and give him helpful advice about how to start a business. Wentworth's totally going to go to Princeton. He's smart like that. And God, Jensen can't even handle thinking what he'd look like in one of those white V-neck sweaters. "Hey, Jensen," Wentworth says when he sees him. And Jensen is suddenly really glad he wore the Armani pants today, because they make his butt look very cute. "Hey," Jensen says, trying to sound casual, but ending up sounding kind of breathless. "How are the Virgin Islands?" "Oh, you know," Wentworth says, with a flick of one slender wrist and a small smile that makes Jensen's heart quiver. "Hot, mostly. But pretty. Definitely pretty." "I like pretty things," Jensen murmurs. "Damn it," he thinks. Sometimes he wants to smack himself for being such a ditz. But Wentworth just nods. "You want to hang out sometime? We should see a movie or something." Jensen's heart skips a beat. He always thought that was just an expression, but it does. He could swear on it. He runs a hand through his hair and attempts a bored expression. "That would be awesome," he says, and Wentworth winks. Chad says he's over Chris, but that doesn't stop him from being a total spaz over his fries at In-N-Out Burger. "He seemed like a good guy," Chad laments. "He likes country. I like country." "We can find you another guy who likes country, Chad," Tom mutters. He looks bored. Jensen's trying to be sensitive, but sometimes he just wants to shake Chad. What is his damage? He met Chris for like 6 seconds. It's not like Chris even tried to get him to blow him in the front seat of his truck. But Chad's acting like Chris is Romeo and he's friggin' Juliet. "You need to move on," Jensen advises. "Seriously, there are so many other fish in the sea." Chad furrows his brow like he's concentrating. "What I really need is a good lay, you know? I don't care about having a boyfriend and shit. I just want to get done right." He looks back and forth between Jensen and Tom like he's waiting for guidance on how to proceed on this mission. "No point in asking Jensen," Tom snorts. "He's never been laid." Chad's mouth drops. "No shit, Jensen. You're a virgin?" Jensen rolls his eyes. "You say that like it's a bad thing." "Jensen's saving himself for Justin Timberlake," Tom explains. Chad looks like he's very valiantly trying not to laugh. Which, what is his deal? Has he not seen that boy's abs? "I don't want it to be with just anyone," Jensen huffs. "I want it to be special." The second he says it, he has a flicker of a memory of Jared, hand resting on Jensen's arm, eyes green-grey and smiling. "Wow, the human brain is a strange place." Jensen shakes it off. "We're going to find you another guy," Jensen says, pulling himself back to the present. "And this one won't be like an attempted rapist and stuff." Chad tilts his head to one side and smiles. "Thanks, Jensen. You guys are so nice to me. It's amazing." "Amazing is right," Jensen thinks. After all, that's what his mother used to say. "Be amazing, Jensen," she'd whisper as she painted glitter onto his cheeks. "Don't ever settle for ordinary." Part 2. Now Jensen is all about doing sexual charity work and playing matchmaker, but as far as he's concerned, It's about time for him to pay a little closer attention to his own romantic destiny. He thinks he deserves it after all he's been through lately, and what he's done for mankind. Plus, he's really horny. Clearly, this requires some thinking. Wentworth isn't like other guys. He's special and kind of on his own plane. He needs convincing. It's a good thing Jensen has a whole method of seduction already planned out for exactly these types of situations. Just because Jensen's never had sex doesn't mean he doesn't know how to tease the hell out of a guy. In fact, it makes him damn near expert. Sometimes you have to show a little skin, he thinks. This reminds boys of being naked, and then they think of sex. Jensen's usually against the whole wife beater and jeans James Dean look on principle. It's one of those retro ensembles that really should never have been revived, because the people who wear it tend to do stupid things, like actually beat their wives. But he has to admit, he looks damn hot in it. His jeans fit him just right, and the tank top hugs the curves of his pecs and show off his biceps. Jensen's not a total gym bunny or anything, but he knows he's worth looking at. Often. Which is why it's so confusing that Wentworth doesn't look at him. Okay, maybe he does, but it's usually in this blank, slightly bemused way. Eyebrows raised, lips tilted up in that, oh my god, so sexy smirk. He doesn't look at him like he's lusting after his bod, though. That's so weird. Jensen thought it was required that people lust after him, like by the school handbook. The next step is usually foolproof. He buys an ice cream sundae, which is so not allowed by his diet, but whatever. Wentworth is like L'Oreal. He is worth it. And spends the whole lunch period eating it, licking the spoon and his fingers, dripping syrup onto his palm and tonguing it off, until Tom and Mike and Chad are all staring at him with glazed eyes. Anything you can do to draw attention to your mouth is good, Jensen thinks. Wentworth is definitely in his sightlines, but he seems really absorbed in his copy of Sports Illustrated and only looks up once to shoot Jensen a winning smile that makes his heart flip. Jensen knows the guys in Sports Illustrated are way gorgeous, so it's kind of understandable. Unfortunately, it does nothing to ease the major hard-on Jensen's got going on. That is so hot, Jensen thinks. He's playing hard to get. Jensen's busy trying to figure out the next step in his plan, and he's pretty sure he's not allowed to walk around school naked. But he hasn't checked the school rules and regulations lately, so maybe there's a Jensen-only exception he doesn't know about, when Wentworth calls. I thought maybe we could go out dancing, he says, and Jensen nearly squeaks with delight. Dancing is so almost sex, and just thinking about being pressed up against Wentworth, those long fingers stroking his back, and deep blue eyes boring into his, makes him swoon. Okay, Jensen says. I'd love that. Great, Jen. I'll pick you up at 8 on Saturday, he says. And oh god, Jensen can barely handle this. He's so excited. He's going to die before Saturday, for serious. And it's only 2 days away. He feels kind of bad for Chad, though. He's been moping around a lot since he broke up with Chris. So he invites Chad along, even though he doesn't really want to, because Wentworth asked him out on a date, not his whole entourage, but friends of friends of friends, right? Jensen doesn't feel embarrassed to be seen out with him in public anymore. Chad's quite presentable now. When he shows up on Saturday at 7:30, he even helps Jensen calm down some. You look great, Jen, Chad says. Seriously, I'd fuck you. Really? Jensen says, eyes wide. Chad's eyes flick up and down Jensen's body. He takes a deep breath. Really? Jared and Jeffrey Dean are hard at work in the living room when Jensen sidles in, thumbs tucked into his belt loops. Jared's eyes flick up when Jensen enters the room, settling on him for a long moment before his cheeks flush and he looks away. Jared looks good like that, Jensen thinks. Kind of like he would if he really exerted himself. And now Jensen's blushing. Jensen, what the hell are you wearing? His father's voice breaks into his thoughts. They're pants, Daddy, Jensen says and twirls so they can all see. Versace. Samuel L. Jackson has pants like these. Jeffrey Dean cocks an eyebrow. Does he wear them that fitted? Jensen doesn't have time to answer his dad's question, because that's when the doorbell rings and, oh God, oh God, oh God, Jensen thinks he might throw up. When he swings open the door, Wentworth is standing there in simple grey slacks and a light blue button-down shirt that matches his eyes, a smile turning up the corners of his perfect mouth. Jensen's mesmerized by his lips for a second before he snaps out of it and invites him inside. God, Jensen's mum would be so disappointed if Jensen randomly forgot all his manners. She was a Southern Deb and went to like charm school. She taught Jensen right. Daddy, this is Wentworth, Jensen says, introducing him with a flourish of his hand. Do you drink? Jensen's dad barks. Wentworth doesn't flinch. I'm good, thanks. I'm not asking you if you want a drink, his dad snaps. I'm not offering. I'm asking you if you drink. You think I'd give alcohol to teenage drivers taking my son out? Hey man, protective vibe. I dig. Wentworth deadpans, unfazed. What's with you, kid? You think the death of Sammy Davis left an opening in the Rat Pack? Daddy, Jensen warns. Jeffrey Dean narrows his eyes at Wentworth. Anything happens to my son, I got a 45 and a shovel. I doubt anyone would miss you. Jensen herds Wentworth out in the foyer, feeling mortified. I'm so sorry about that, Went. My dad's a little sensitive. No, it's okay, Wentworth says with a shrug. Your father just wants to make sure you have the right kind of friends. I get it. Jensen really hopes the with benefits is implied. He gives Wentworth a sunny smile. Wentworth is such a gentleman, opening the doors of his Mercedes for Jensen and then for Chad. He lets Jensen choose the radio station and only looks faintly amused when Jensen settles on the pop station that's playing the Pussycat Dolls. Jensen loves that song they sing. It's like it was written for him or something. Everyone wishes their girlfriend was hot like Jensen. They go to this club in Hermosa Beach called Blue 32, and wow, Jensen's never been to a club like this one before. There are girls here. It's kind of awesome. Jensen's a big fan of lesbians. They don't dress well or anything, but they're great reminders of why Jensen's not attracted to women. Pretty cool, huh? Wentworth says, bobbing his head to the rhythm. Well, maybe to the rhythm is a bit of an overstatement. What is wrong with him? Wentworth can't dance. That's not possible. That's like Gwen Stefani looking ugly and unfashionable or something. Only one way to test this theory. Way cool, Jensen says. Let's dance. You go ahead, Wentworth says. I'm gonna hang here for a bit. Wow, that's a bummer. Jensen was really counting on some serious groin-on-groin action to make this night complete. Now he has to find some random to dance with. A red-headed girl is standing in front of Jensen, looking up at him through her eyelashes. And seriously? Seriously, this is freaking Jensen out. I don't swing that way, honey, Jensen says. Oh, I know, she says, nodding. But you're hot, and I love your shoes. Well, Jensen can never resist a compliment about his shoes. He dances with her for three songs. She's really good too, knows exactly how to move her hips. Girls are good at that. He gets her number so they can hook up again and practice all the steps from the JT videos. Of course she's a fan. She clearly has good taste. Girls keep coming up to him constantly after that, and Jensen's too nice to say no. He gets complimented on his belt, his pants, and his hair, so that makes it sort of okay. He realizes then that he's lost track of Chad. He can see Wentworth over by the bar, talking to a girl with long blonde hair and obviously fake tits. She's pressing herself into his side and laughing, hand stroking his arm. He's smiling at her, and wow, Jensen has so much admiration for Wentworth. He's so tolerant. He finally sights Chad clear over on the other side of the club, dancing with some really tall guy, which, wait a fucking second, is that Jared? Okay, Jensen needs to take a moment, because everything about this evening is totally surreal. Wentworth isn't dancing, Jensen's dancing with girls, and Jared's at a trendy club and hanging with Chad? Someone has been drinking the Kool-Aid, and it is so not Jensen. He would never willingly imbibe that many empty calories. He elbows his way over to them. Chad and Jared look like they're having a good time. Chad's laughing and making weird faces. And Jared's doing those dumb little dance moves like, ugh, ooh. Jensen shudders. The cabbage patch. Jensen's not sure why it makes him feel all squishy inside to see Jared with Chad like that. But whatever. He's over it 2 seconds later anyway. He probably had a few too many Cosmos. Put a cherry in a drink, and Jensen loses track of how many he's had really fast. It's a problem. What's up, guys? Jensen says, and Jared turns to face him, smiling. His eyes are bright and sparkly, and he's got dimples to die for. Gross, Jensen thinks. Clearly he needs to die for making me formulate that thought. How are you, Jensen? Jared asks. Your dad was a little worried about you after what happened at the last party you went to, so he sent me out here to make sure everything was okay. Jensen wants to be pissed off, because he can totally handle himself. He has pepper spray now. But it is sort of sweet. Jared had stuff to do tonight, and he took the time to come all the way out to Hermosa Beach. It's not even in the valley. That's so thoughtful. I'm kind of beat, Jensen says, sighing. Maybe we can go get Wentworth and roll? Jared nods. Sure, whatever you want. The way Jared says it, deep, rough, but soft, makes Jensen a little weak. Yeah, definitely too many Cosmos. He turns away and marches over to Wentworth. Because, hello, that is why he's here, right? Wentworth is chatting with a different girl now, one with dark hair and blue eyes. And she's all over him. Girls are so slutty sometimes. Jensen doesn't get it. Don't they realize the build-up is just as important as the money shot? Hey, Wenty, Jensen shouts over the noise. We've got a jet. I have to get up early in the morning to meet with my trainer. Wentworth nods. That's cool. Hey, Wentworth? That's Jared's voice behind him. And wow, when did Jared get that close? Jensen can feel him pressed up against his back, and he's all warm and stuff. Jensen blinks. Yeah, Wentworth says. I can take Jensen and Chad home if you want to hang a little longer, Jared says, eyes flitting over Wentworth's unfortunately female companion. You look busy. Wentworth nods, grinning. Thanks. I appreciate that, ma'am. He grasps Jensen's arm lightly, looking into his eyes. And damn, the color of Wentworth's eyes is so Crayola Jensen cannot process it. It's beyond color. I'll see you later, okay, Jen? Jensen feels a little disappointed, but it's okay. He understands. Wentworth's just a really good guy, and he doesn't want these girls to feel slighted. Plus, Jensen is actually tired. He doesn't think he'd be up for much sex after all that dancing. Those girls wore him out, and he's heard that butt sex is like way taxing, especially the first time you do it. Jared drops Chad off somewhere kind of ghetto, like Long Beach or something. It doesn't really register, because Jensen's too busy looking at Jared. When did Jared get so pretty? Maybe Jensen needs to get his eyes checked, because his contacts have been lying to him. Up close, Jared's eyes are slanted and green, with this bluish ring around them, almost exotic looking. And his teeth look so white when he smiles. Jensen should get the name of his orthodontist, you know, for future reference, in case he has kids. Is Daddy still up working on that case? Jensen asks. Jared glances over at him. Yeah, it'll probably be an all-nighter. It's a bitch of a lawsuit. Jensen tilts his head to one side. You want to stop and grab some takeout? I'm sure he'd appreciate the snack, and then he won't yell as much. Jared's lips curve up into a small smile. Sure, yeah, let's do that. What Jensen doesn't say is that he's actually starving. He couldn't eat all day in anticipation of his date, and his stomach is seriously objecting to this fact. As much as Jensen sometimes wishes he could, he can't actually subsist on lifesavers and breath mints. When they bring home the food, Jeffrey Dean's absorbed in his work and already has the beginning of the scary wrinkles in his forehead. But he smiles when he sees they've come bearing gifts. He ruffles Jensen's hair, which, okay, that is not usually allowed under any circumstances. But where is Jensen going to go tonight anyway? Like Jared cares what his hair looks like. Jared cares about Jensen's hair as much as Jensen cares about polyester or Walmart, which is to say, not at all. Thank you, baby, Jeff says. You know me so well. I totally do, Jensen affirms, basking in his father's affectionate glow. You take a break, Jared, Jeff says. Just hang out for a bit. You've been here all afternoon. But I. Jeff puts up his hand. I insist. You're no good to me half asleep. Jared shrugs and sidles into the den, collapsing on the couch in front of the TV. Jensen goes upstairs and changes into some drawstring pajama pants and an undershirt. Wow, that feels so good. He loves those Versace pants, but it's not like he can breathe in them or anything. When Jensen comes downstairs, Jared's watching some boring nature documentary about penguins. Jensen settles on the couch next to him and grabs the remote from his lap. Jared stirs, making a futile grab for it, but he's too tired to make a real effort. Jensen flicks the channel over to the CW. It's a rerun of Smallville. Jared makes a face. What? Jensen says. This is a good show. It's a ridiculous show. Jared says. The pacing's horrible, the acting is worse, and the plots don't make any sense. It's a great premise, badly executed. Jensen arches an eyebrow. So you've watched it then? Jared makes a very cute growly sound and crosses his arms. Whatever. Jensen dismisses him with a wave of his hand. The boys are hot and they fight a lot. Plus, they totally want to have sex with each other. Jared lifts an eyebrow but says nothing. Jensen likes how Jared knows when to be quiet. There are so few people these days who know how to do that. It's an endangered skill, not unlike those penguins Jared's so keen on watching take care of their babies. So don't you have spring break coming up or something? Jensen asks. Jared's eyelids are drooping. Yeah, I do, he says without enthusiasm. Are you going to Cabo or TJ? Jensen asks. He knows people go to other places, like Europe or China, but he figures Jared must be bored with those places, being as he knows everything about them already. Seriously, Jared's very smart. It would be impressive if he wasn't, well, Jared. Neither, Jared sighs. I'm not doing anything. I've been so busy lately, I haven't had any time to plan a vacation. Jensen's eyes widen. You're not serious. You've got to do something. You've been working your ass off. He wrinkles his nose. Plus, you're kind of pacey. Jared smirks. Thanks. I mean it. Jensen is indignant. Jared, you need to do something special for yourself. But all the flights are booked because everybody's got spring break this week. Jared sighs. Plus, I don't have a lot of extra cash for a hotel. Jensen puts on his proverbial thinking cap, which is way cute, by the way. Kind of a half baseball cap, half something else he saw once at the Gap, and meditates. There's got to be a solution to this problem. It's not right for people to stay at home during spring break. There should be a law. It's just wrong, morally. He snaps his fingers. I've got it. You should stay here. You can, like, hang out by the pool and get a tan and just relax and read, or whatever it is you do for fun, Jensen concedes. Jared looks skeptical. I don't want to get in the way. You've got your own thing going on here, and... Jensen shakes his head emphatically. No, no, you won't be in the way, I swear. This is a big house, and you know Daddy loves you. Jared looks at him carefully. Well, okay, if you're sure. He nods. I am totally sure. Jensen catches a glimpse of himself in the mirror across from the TV. And wow, his hair is disastrous. Stupid daddy messing it up. He runs his fingers through it, trying to make it stick up the right way instead of the wrong way. The distinction is small, but oh my God, so real. When he looks over at Jared, he's looking back at him with an amused expression on his face. How many hours a day do you think you spend grooming yourself? Jared asks. Jensen would be offended by Jared's less than kind implications. But Jared looks so beautiful like that. Eyes bright and sleepy, lips curved into a crooked smile. Jensen's breath catches in his throat. He nudges Jared with his shoulder. Not all of us are lucky enough to be as naturally adorable as you are, he says, grinning. Jared's smile widens. When his fingers brush across Jensen's knuckles as he reaches for the remote, Jensen doesn't move away. On Monday, Jensen's whole world turns upside down. Well, it's not quite that sudden and dramatic, but seriously, It's a definite daze moment. And Jensen hasn't had many of those since he was, like, 12, and used to freak out when he woke up with his hair all messy from sleep. He's a little late to lunch because he was talking to Ms. Gamble about writing erotica and how it's like this seriously underrated genre that people never understand the way they should. "You should write something and submit it to the literary magazine," Ms. Gamble says, nodding. "It would be so different and refreshing." Jensen's not sure his erotica would be refreshing. He doesn't have a whole lot of real-life experience to base it on. "Don't they say write what you know?" "Think about it," Ms. Gamble enthuses. "The proceeds of the Lit Mag go to charity. You'd be helping to save the penguins." Jensen considers this. Penguins are really cute. "I'll see what I can do," Jensen says, and flashes Miss Gamble his 1,000-watt smile. She smiles back, looking a little overwhelmed. When he gets to the cafeteria, his regular lunch table is filled with people. Chad's sitting in the center, telling some story about when he lived in North Carolina. Apparently there was this one time where this redneck dude in a huge truck almost ran him over. "I was just standing in the middle of the street, right?" Chad's saying. "Because I wanted to know, like, if there was more space on one side of the divider line than the other. And this truck comes out of nowhere and almost mows me down." "Wow, that must have been so scary," Tom says, looking at Chad with wide blue eyes. Dave nods. "Seriously? Did your life flash before your eyes?" "Not exactly," Chad says, "but I definitely started reconsidering some of the decisions I'd made in life, you know, like what I'd eaten that morning." "I know when I was held up at gunpoint," Jensen pipes up. "So did you throw up?" James cuts in, and okay, Jensen does not care how sharp James's cheekbones are. He is not allowed to be rude. Manners are for pretty people too. That's what his mother always used to say. "I didn't throw up," Chad says, then wrinkles his nose. "Well, I kind of did. A little. In my mouth." Jensen glances around the table. Everyone is riveted. "Seriously?" Jensen thinks. He feels kind of like he wants to vomit, and he hasn't even eaten anything yet. Jensen may not be the best driver ever, but he'd like to think he's slightly more competent than Tom. Tom is such a spaz behind the wheel, it's not even funny. "Woman!" Mike is shouting. "Pick a lane! You cannot take up both lanes. That is not allowed by law." Tom shifts the wheel slightly, and the car veers so they're sort of in one lane. Almost. Jensen squints. "Whatever," Tom snaps. "I was totally in one lane." Mike rolls his eyes. "Okay, now you're going to turn left. Get into the left. The left lane, Tommy." Tom sighs. Jensen watches as four cars pass them, drivers leaning on their horns. "Aren't we going to the mall?" Tom says. "This isn't even the right way." "That's because you haven't turned yet, sweetheart," Mike says through gritted teeth. "So I don't get what's up with him," Jensen says to Tom. Jensen had been lamenting the lack of Wentzen action in recent history. "We went dancing on Saturday and we didn't even dance," he says. Tom arches an eyebrow. "Are you serious? What happened?" "I don't know. He didn't want to dance with me," Jensen says with a dramatic sigh. "Or at all. It was lame. I think maybe I need to reconsider our compatibility. I'm really sad." "Don't say that, Jen," Tom says. "You've got to try again." I just feel like he's too good for me or something, Jensen says. I mean, he does dress better than I do. What would I bring to the relationship? Who are you talking about? Mike asks curiously, then adds, That's a stop sign, Tommy. Obey the stop sign. Stop signs are for everyone. Wentworth Miller, Jensen says. Mike lets out a bark of a laugh. Oh no, you're not serious. So serious, Jensen says, indignant. Mike snorts. That's your problem then. What is his problem, Dr. Love? Tom asks, sounding appropriately pissy. Your Wentworth is a straight boy, Mike shouts, sounding almost gleeful. No way, Jensen yelps. Not even. Yes, even, Mike says. He's a football-watching, business school-bound, beer-drinking, Casanova clone friend of females. You hear me? He does spend a lot of time with girls, Jen, Tom says thoughtfully. And the boy can't dance. Oh my God, Jensen whispers. He feels dizzy. Total hetero, Mike says. Weird, right? So weird, Jensen murmurs. Tom swings the wheel to the left. Hey, is this the right? No, no! That'll get you on the freeway. Don't get on the freeway! Mike's voice rises about 6 octaves in pitch. But what do I... Mikey, I don't know how to... Shit, don't let me... What do I do? Tom shouts. Get off the... Holy fuck! There's a lot of shouting and screaming as Tom pulls onto the freeway, cars whizzing by on one side, honking horns and swerving around them. Jensen feels his heart clench in his chest. He is too young and pretty to die. Even if he went to heaven and got to be with his mum, that would be awesome, but Jensen really wants to be a fashion designer. And angels, as pretty as they are, all seem to wear the same general ensemble. Get over! Stay over there and get off at the next exit. You can do this, baby. You can, Mike is saying, hand clasping Tom's shaking shoulder. Just stay in this lane. You've got it. It's fine. Just... Then they're in the exit lane, speeding off onto a side street. Jensen's stomach stops flipping. He takes in a deep, shuddering breath. Tom pulls over at the side of the road at the first available moment, hyperventilating, and Mike wraps his hand around the back of Tom's neck and pulls him in for a series of increasingly desperate kisses. Jensen looks away, biting his lip. Okay, so maybe right now, Jensen wants a boyfriend. Jensen sits at home that night and thinks about sex. Truthfully, he thinks about sex often, but this time he's thinking about it for humanitarian purposes. Jensen is thinking about sex in order to save the penguins. He's not sure why he wants to save the penguins so badly, but he really, really does. Almost as much as he wants the new Dolce suit jacket for the spring collection before they come out. And he's been waiting for that jacket for like 1 million years. The thing is, erotica is about desire, right? It's about what a person wants, what he wants to happen, to be a part of, to see, to experience. But Jensen doesn't really know what he wants. He thought he wanted Wentworth, but Wentworth doesn't want him. Chris wanted him, but Jensen knows he doesn't want Chris. And all the other boys in his school are a bunch of twinkie tards or blowhard roid-raging assholes who wouldn't know what to do with their dicks if someone wrote instructions on them with Sharpie. He sighs. There's porn, of course. Jensen's seen plenty of that. But it's not that informative when it comes to, you know, reality. The guys in porn are all huge, and Jensen is not. And, yeah, in a word, Ouch. Hey, Jen. Jensen starts out of his state of meditation to see Jared standing in his doorway, wearing just a towel wrapped around his waist. His dark hair is wet and dripping droplets of water onto his broad chest, outlining the shape of his flat nipples and defined abdominal muscles. Jared's got quite the body, good gracious. Muscles tight in all the right places, hard, and yet his skin looks like it would be so soft under Jensen's hands. Have you seen my shaving razor? Jared asks, and what? Jensen blinks. Speaking of hard, he shifts uncomfortably in his desk chair. No, Jensen stutters. But you can use mine if you need to. It's in the bathroom next to the pomegranate aftershave. Jensen's not sure why everything's become a question all of a sudden. Jared's mouth tips into a slippery smile. Okay, thanks. What are you going to shave? Jensen asks, then really wishes he hadn't. Jared raises an eyebrow. This, he says, lifting one hand to stroke his goatee. It feels like more of a winter look. He grins. Jensen stares for a good 30 seconds before he realizes what he's doing. Jensen? Jared asks. His eyes look dark in this light, deep and bottomless. I'm saving the penguins, Jensen mumbles. Jared blinks rapidly. Okay. He runs a hand through the long strands of his hair. I'll let you get back to that then. Jensen turns around to face his desk. He hears Jared's footsteps retreating down the hallway. He stares down at his hands. They're shaking. And asking him to stay here for spring break was a good idea, how? He takes a deep breath, then picks up his pen. Jensen's got his driving test the next day. He's really nervous, kind of like how he was the first time he jerked off. He wasn't sure what was going to happen, okay? Jeffrey Dean is generally an awesome dad, but he wasn't so great with the whole sex ed thing. Jensen learned a lot from romance novels and late-night cable TV. He wears his best white-collared shirt and these pants that hang loose on him. He's not trying to seduce the driver's test administrator, after all, and he wants to seem sober and smart. Clothes do make the man. And today, Jensen wants his clothes to make him really, really boring. At the last minute, he takes out his contacts and puts on his glasses. He hates wearing them, but there's no question that they do lend him a certain degree of gravitas. Unfortunately, the test doesn't go well. It's not that Jensen doesn't know how to drive correctly, because he does. He just chooses not to. He's too creative for the rules of the road. For serious, Jensen's an artist. He's going to be a fashion designer, all right? The driving instructor is not appreciative of his artistic predisposition, however. What the hell are you doing? He asks. That was a biker you almost ran over back there. He came out of nowhere, Jensen says. And okay, Jensen might have been a little distracted by looking at his own eyelashes in the rearview mirror. But seriously, they're ridiculous, aren't they? He's crazy lucky. The driving instructor gives him a stony glare. Pull over up here, please. Am I done? Jensen asks. Oh, yeah, you're done, he says, narrowing his eyes. Jensen's heart flips. He's so psyched. How awesome would it be to drive to the mall by himself? He wouldn't have to listen to Mike bitch the whole way about how Jensen is a deluded fairy princess. who never learned the dangers of too much cologne and lip gloss. He pulls the car over to the side of the road. "You can't park," the driving instructor growls. "You can't change lanes. You can't make right-hand turns. You can't make left-hand turns. You almost killed someone." "I'm sorry," Jensen flails. "I've got a lot on my mind, okay? I'm normally way better than this." "Then come back when you've got your head on straight," he snaps, then sighs. "If that's even possible." Jensen sulks all the way home. When Jensen pushes open the patio doors, he's hoping to find something to cheer him up. Like Jared sunbathing naked, or maybe swimming naked, or just being naked somewhere. Because Jared naked, or half naked, or showing skin of any kind that's not covered up by flannel, is generally a good thing. The sight that greets his eyes makes his heart wrench in his chest instead. Chad is there, wearing Guess jeans, Jensen notices, and a black Banana Republic button-down shirt that Jensen is absolutely positive he owns himself. He and Jared are standing by the pool and talking, huddled close. Chad's laughing like Jared's just said the most hilariously awesome thing in the history of ever. Jared looks proud of himself, cheeks flushed and eyes bright and sparkling. "Hey," Jensen calls out. "Hey," Jared says, turning to give Jensen a small wave. And wow, have Jared's eyes always been that green? "How does it feel to have a license?" he asks. Jensen feels like punching someone. "I wouldn't know," he mutters. "I failed." "Oh," Jared says, and he actually looks sad. Jensen wants a hug, the really tight kind where you can feel the person all pressed against you, like, "And Jared, spare me the lecture on how driving is such a big responsibility and you can't BS your way through it, okay?" Jensen snaps. "Huh, where did that come from?" Jared puts up his hands, wrinkling his brow. "I didn't say anything." "I know what you're thinking," Jensen mutters. "I've got something to show you," Chad says suddenly, trotting over to a deck chair and picking up a shoebox of stuff. "Unless there's a driver's license with my name on it or a kilo of blow in there, I could not care less," Jensen thinks, but he smiles brightly anyway. He and Chad go inside, and they sit down next to the huge fireplace in the living room. "Does this work?" Chad asks, gesturing towards the fireplace. "Sure," Jensen says without enthusiasm, picking up the remote and flicking it on. "Does Chad want to set the mood or something?" "Okay, so here's the deal," Chad says, setting the shoebox down on the fireplace mantel. "You know Chris Kane?" Jensen nods. He's got a pair of ruined Guess jeans, just like the ones Chad's wearing to prove it. "Well, after we kind of didn't work out, I kept some stuff that reminded me of him. Stupid, right?" "Right," Jensen thinks, but what he says is, "No, of course not." "I think it's lame, but I couldn't give it up. It was like some kind of sickness, you know?" Chad shakes his head. "Like this. It's a CD of Kane, Chris's band." He makes as if to toss it into the fireplace, but Jensen snatches it away. "CDs don't burn so well," he explains. Chad looks confused, but then he just shakes his head and keeps going. "And this, it was a song that was playing when we were talking. I thought it was romantic." Jensen stares down at the CD in Chad's hand. It's a single EP of Justin Timberlake's What Goes Around, Comes Around. Okay, Jensen is like JT's biggest fan, but even he doesn't think that song's romantic. It's tragic and deep and stuff, not romantic. And this, it's a receipt for some cane cowboy boots I bought. Stupid, Chad says, tossing it into the fireplace. Jensen notices Chad's not burning the boots. A whole bunch of other crap, too, Chad says, shaking the box into the fireplace. It hisses and sparks. I just need to purge him from my life, you know, especially since I've got a new love in my life. Jensen perks up. He loves romance, even when it's not his own. Really? Who? Chad giggles. Well, you know him, definitely. Okay, Jensen says. Jared, Chad whispers. Jensen feels his stomach roil. His hand forms into a fist. Jared, Jensen says brightly. Really? Really, Chad says. He's just so nice, you know? He's always so sweet to me. And he danced with me at that club when nobody else would. And I really like him, Jensen. But are you sure that you guys have that much in common? Jensen says. I mean, Jared likes, Radiohead and Eastern philosophy. Chad arches an eyebrow. What? So you think I'm a mentally retarded airhead or something? No, not even. I didn't say that. But I'm not good enough for Jared. Chad's starting to sound a little shrill. I just don't think you mesh well together, Jensen says. Chad's eyes spark. He looks pissed. Jensen finds himself wondering if Chad actually owns his oft-mentioned Glock, and if so, if it might be on the premises. Why should I listen to you anyway? Chad spits. You're a virgin who can't drive. Jensen inhales sharply. That was way harsh, Chad. Look, I'm really sorry. Chad sighs, world weary. Let's just talk when we've mellowed, all right? Laters. Jensen watches as Chad prances out the door in his too cute jeans and designer button down. He feels so nauseous he wants to cry. What the hell is going on with the Jensen Ackles karma? Everything is fucked. What would Oprah do? Jensen thinks. He takes three or four calming and cleansing breaths, then dials his chauffeur, Morris. Screw Oprah. Jensen needs retail therapy.